a little bit of last week, kind of where we left off, so you'll remember. Peter had that vision of the curtain coming down with the four corners and all the beasts in it, clean, unclean. And God, God told him to rise up and eat. And Peter said, I can't eat. Those are unclean things. He says, don't call anything common that I have cleaned. And then he said, about that time, he sent these messengers to his house to say, come back with me. And God told Peter, just go. Don't ask any questions. Just go. Just go with him. So Peter did go with him. And then Cornelius received all the words of Peter. The people with Cornelius received the words of Peter, the gospel of Jesus. And we left off last week with them receiving the Holy Ghost and them being baptized as part of the body of Christ. And so we pick up at chapter 11 tonight. And my title, if you saw it before or not, my title was Holy Ghost. That's my title. Simple and to the point. Holy Ghost. Because this chapter and a lot of Acts talks about the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not just a word we use as Christians. The Holy Ghost is an empowerment that God gives each of us if we will ask Him for it. He'll give us this empowering spirit to overcome the things in life we can't do on our own. Because I understand that temptation is real, and I know that we are weak. And I know that we fail daily. And the only thing that helps us overcome and be able to stand against what the devil brings against our lives is operating and walking and surrendering to the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And the power of the Holy Ghost is there to help us, to teach us, to keep us, and to show us which way we should go. It's there to put a stop when things hit our lives. The devil is so aggressive in attacking us that Holy Ghost inside of us rises up and gives us the power we don't have none in our flesh to overcome. Because all of our flesh is weak, but the Holy Ghost is strong. So chapter 11, we pick up, and Peter kind of recaps a little bit what's happening, but we'll just read it. We're going to go to verse 18 tonight. Lord willing, get to verse 18 tonight. The apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. Now remember, this is back early church. The Jewish people, circumcision was a mark and a sign that they were following the covenant of God. They found out Peter was eating with ones that were not following the covenant of God, who had not been birthed into Judaism, who was not part of the plan of God in their eyes, who was not part of the heritage of God in their eyes, and they are attacking them. We heard you're eating with the uncircumcised Gentiles. They're not God's people. Why are you spreading the word to them? They don't deserve that. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to us. I got thinking about this, how even in today's culture, with church membership or with church excommunication, some people still do that, how that we base that based on our rules and on our regulations instead of on what the Word of God says. That, you know, if you want to be a member of Living Word, then really the only requirement, I mean, really the only thing I think is common sense, hey, I'm a believer in the Lord and I want to be a part of this family. You don't go through a lot of hoops and la-la to get there. Because it's not about our regulations. It's about the body of Christ. And people come from different walks and different avenues. Inside this church, Living Word, on any given Sunday morning, we have got probably 8 or 10 different denominational paths that are represented in this congregation. Some of you can have a Methodist church. Some can have a Presbyterian church, Pentecostal church, Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, Northern Baptist, Country Baptist, City Baptist, whatever. We come from different walks. Some came from no church whatsoever, no background. We have some in this church, there's 2 or 3 in this church, I know for sure, that was in Catholicism, that came out of the Catholic Church. And so the only requirement is this gift of Jesus is for all men. I've been talking about that. And this gift of the Holy Spirit is also to all men who will ask for it or who desire it. There is no respect of person in God's eyes, and the Jewish people cannot let this go. They were very upset that he was down here eating, preaching the word of God to those that were uncircumcised. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, you know what it means by Peter rehearsed it? Peter knew they would have a problem with it. So he already began to think about, how do I respond, God? Because they're going to have a problem with me eating with Gentiles that are uncircumcised and letting them know that this message of Jesus and the gospel. See, these Gentiles didn't come in through Judaism. They came straight in through Christ. They didn't come through all the ceremonial stuff. They wasn't birthed into it by birthright. They simply came in because Jesus was introduced to them. They heard this truth and they believed this truth and they were changed by this truth. And that is the simplicity of the Word of God. It is changes us when we hear it. When our ears come alive with the sound of music. Ah, sorry. Verse 5, I was in the city of Joppa praying. Now here he recaps. He's telling, okay, pretend Joe Brown is one of these Jewish legalistic, he kind of looks like it tonight, sitting there like, what? One of these Jewish legalistic people. All right? And here's Gaal. He's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. And he lives in another country. And Mr. Joe Brown finds out that I'm Peter. So he finds out Peter's down there eating with Gaal, sharing the word of God with Gaal, saying that he can have the same covenant of God that Mr. Joe has. And Joe's sitting there like, I'm a Jew. I was born a Jew, and my daddy was a Jew, and my grandpappy was a Jew, and his grandpappy was a Jew, and his grandpappy was a Jew, and his daddy was a Jew, and he has this rich heritage, and he says, I came the right way. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I've kept all the feast. I've given of my alms. I wash my hands every time that I eat, which Melanie appreciates that. All these rituals that the Jewish people kept. And Joe is like, I did all that. And you're telling me that Gaal, this heathen Gentile, living 100 miles south of me, who don't know God from Adam, all of a sudden now he has the same covenant and the same promise. He can now say God Jehovah and God hears him too. I don't like that. We still have that contingency in today's world where people think we don't deserve it because of the way we look or where we came from or how we came into it. But it doesn't matter. The moment that we hear the voice of God and the moment we say, yes, Lord, the Bible says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, regardless of where they come from or what they look like. So here Peter is recapping to Joe Brown and to all those Joes back there. He's recapping what happened. And I love what he did here. He actually begins to recap what God did. I was in the city of Joppa praying. In a trance, I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Four corners, I think, is very indicative of the whole world. Upon the which I have fastened my eyes, I considered, and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, no, so Lord, for nothing common or unclean at any time entered into my mouth. Now God used animals in this vision because the Jewish people were sticklers on their diet of what they would eat and what they wouldn't eat. I mean, they were so particular because they obeyed the Leviticus law. There were certain animals they could not eat. A Jew would not touch pork. I don't care how much that bacon smelled good. You could fry it crisp. You could fry it halfway. It don't matter. Turkey bacon, it didn't matter. They was not going to eat no pig. They ate certain things. And so God showed them these animals to get Peter's attention because that was an insult. God, I can't eat that. That's against the law. But God is showing him a deeper revelation in this. But he showed him animals to get his attention, to show him a deeper point. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, thou shalt not call common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And then look at verse 11. I thought it was kind of funny. Maybe it's just ironic, but verse 10 says it was done three times. Look at verse 11. Behold, immediately there were how many men? Three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into this man's house. Now, you got to admire Peter's faith for going on a mission he didn't have any idea what it was about. God had just spoke to him, Peter, just go. God did not tell Peter what it was about. He didn't know the outcome. He didn't know the assignment. He just simply said, these men are going to come seek you and ask you to go with them. Do not question it. Just go. Talking about faith. I think that's a very important point, that Peter listened to God and obeyed without having to know the answer. We want the answer before we obey. That's not faith. He showed us how he had sent an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell these words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now, he's telling the story here. He's recapping it. And as I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And verse 16 is a key verse I'm going to expound on a little bit tonight. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I remember being baptized as a 9-year-old child, and I came out of the water, and the Holy Ghost was all up on me. I did not rise out of the water emotionless. I didn't rise out of the water just wet. I didn't arise out of the water just like, oh, that was pretty good, I feel a little better. Man, I rose out of the water on fire. Something was on me that wasn't there before. The power of the Holy Ghost came upon me as a 9-year-old boy, and I truly believe that is what kept me through my young adult, teenage adult life. Not that I was perfect by any means, but it was something that anchored my life, that kept me grounded from going to places my flesh wanted to go and doing things that my flesh wanted to do and seeing things my eyes wanted to see. But something kept pulling me back and wouldn't allow me to go to those places. It was like Lion King when his father said, see all of this land. You can go anywhere to where the light is, but don't go to where the darkness touches. And that's kind of how God kept my life. When I ever got the dark place, God would pull me back before I crossed in, at least in too deep. And I thank God for that. It was the Holy Ghost that gave me that strength. It was the Holy Ghost that gave me that desire to want to serve God and live for God and do what was right in the eyes of God. I wasn't just getting baptized to get wet or to make a statement just to say, hey, I've been baptized and hopefully I'm good now. I was baptized in that water, and when I came out, the Holy Spirit was upon me, affirming and confirming that I was now a vessel of the Lord. I was now a child of God. I was now different than I was before. Something happened in that water. The angel stirred the water and the fire came down. And I was not who I was when I went in. I was changed when I came out. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what he's talking about. That these disciples and these people heard it. They were getting more than just a good message. They were getting more than a few chills. They were being empowered with something they didn't have before that gave them strength and boldness and courage to stand in a broken generation and declare the goodness of God. It gave them something. It was a booster shot that infused them. Man, it was like the Incredible Hulk and the shirt came off and whoosh, I mean, man, something happened. And that's what the Bible says. Jesus says, John baptized you with water, but there'll be a day you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. At the day of Pentecost, that's where it began. Those 120 in the upper room that were waiting on this promise. What was this promise? It was a promise of his power filling their lives. In that upper room, the Bible says, cloven tongues of fire. We done went through this chapter. Cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Each of them. Not part of them and not some of them. Each of them. All 120 that were in that place received the promise they were waiting on. God didn't skip a person. He didn't skip a head. He didn't skip a mouth. He touched every single person and says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. This is what he was talking about. It was being manifested from an ark of a covenant being carried in a desert to an upper room being filled with cloven tongues of fire to humanity now being infilled with the power of the living God inside of us. Holy Ghost power that changes us. That's why when you listen to people that are preaching or teaching or other Christians, you can kind of tell which ones are walking in the power of the Holy Ghost and which ones are just, they're saved. They love Jesus, all is well. But man, they've not been empowered with something that gives them what these men were experiencing. Oh, what a power. What a glory. It overshadowed them. How do we receive this? We surrender. We surrender to what God wants to do. I am so amazed at how so many people believe in a demonic world, which I do too, but don't believe in the Holy Ghost world. They'll watch these ghost chaser shows. Maybe you're one of those. That's fine if that's your thing. And they'll watch these ghost things and spirits and stuff and try to catch it on camera and see little blobs of light and a ball rolls down the stairs and they feel a breeze come through a window and, ooh, it's Casper. I get it. I believe in that too. I absolutely believe in the demonic world. But some of those same folks don't believe there's a Holy Ghost world to where if God moves upon a man in a supernatural way and empowers them to do things they would not normally do, somehow they've lost their mind or it's insanity or they're crazy or they're off their rocker. Man, you're the one trying to chase Ghostbusters. You're the one trying to think. There's people my age that I know of, and this is absolutely, I'm not trying to be critical. Because I don't know. Now, full disclosure, I don't know. I know, but I don't know. But there's people my age that absolutely believe there are Bigfoots walking around. I mean, you know, Sasquatches. Maybe they are. Like I said, I've not seen one. And I just think with all of our radar technology where I can zoom into my house and see my orange and white cat 3 miles away from my house walking down a trail in the woods, and I can't find Bigfoot somewhere. Just saying, y'all. There's cops that'll catch you from 50 miles away if you got my luck. How'd they see me in the middle of the night? Somehow they got me. But we can't see something. I'm Bigfoot. Give me some beef jerky. I mean, really? Just saying. It may be out there. I'm not saying it's not. But I'm just saying, the people that believe in the Bigfoot, and the people that believe in Martians and aliens and ghosts and demonic worlds, some of those same people think we've lost our minds if we get caught up in the Spirit of God a little bit. Praising the Lord. Who's lost their minds is football stadiums. Basketball courts have lost their minds. You see, the end of the Super Bowl, the very last, and I didn't even watch the first half. I didn't watch it about a quarter and a half of that game. First time since 1981, I've not watched the whole Super Bowl that I know of. Unless I had to work, I think, a couple of those years. But I didn't watch much of it. But I did watch the very end. And as soon as it was over, did you see the crowd surround Tom Brady? Couldn't even talk. Hundreds of people swarmed up on him all around, trying to be the first one to get a picture of Big Tom. Trying to get that picture. Get that interview. Oh, I got to get the interview. Oh, Tom, how's it feel? Oh, Tom, 6 Super Bowls. Oh, Tom, 6 rings. And we lose our minds. You ever seen how some people dress up in those football games? Gail, remember the Washington Redskins back in the day? They had the Hoggettes. These were grown men, my dad's age, Gail's age, Joe's age. Well, younger than that, but, you know, excuse me, you know what I'm saying. Grown men that had dresses and ladies' hats and pig snouts representing the Skins. And we've lost our minds because we want to say, hallelujah, Jesus. And maybe sometimes the language comes out, they don't understand. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Grown men with pig snouts and dresses and purses and ladies' hat and jewelry. We're the Hoggettes. No, you're transgender or something. I don't know what you are. And we think that, oh my gosh, the dog pound in Cleveland Browns, right? Wearing dog masks and big floppy ears. Grown people. Men with their shirts off that don't need to be off, some of them. That was for a good cause. That was a good cause, baby. We won't talk about that. That was a good cause. It's part of my job to motivate my folks, and it worked, and it was a good thing. And I made $7 on the stage by dancing. Anyway, we see all of this craziness. The Duke Blue Devil fans, they call it the Duke crazies, Cameron crazies, right? And they do this thing with their arms. Woo! Both arms. When they're shooting a foul shot. What if Duke came in this place on Sunday morning, and I'm up here, and all of y'all are going, "Woo, Pastor, preach it, Pastor, woo, let the Spirit move, Pastor." They'd be like, "Well, this place has lost their mind." But for a basketball game that don't really matter, come on. It just amazes me. But the Holy Ghost is for a purpose. It's for a reason. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace what God wants to do with that in your life. Because it does change you. It teaches you. It shows you things. You can have a more intimate relationship as you allow the Holy Ghost inside of you to minister to you and to talk to you and to drive out those dark places and to speak to those thoughts in your mind that are wrong. God can change that. It gives us a whole different dynamic to walk in whenever we surrender to it. And I know we're in a culture that just, there's so many things competing against God, the church, time spent with God, the Bible, His presence. I mean, there's just so much, you know, there's just so much. You know, everything is so much. Asher got home from school today, and I got home about, well, I went and picked her up, came home, ate me a little something before church, and we're sitting at the dining room table, and she pulls out her phone, get on Netflix to watch this, you know, little show, which is nothing wrong with that. But she's got the Netflix app on her phone. Now, I think I'll go to Hulu, have that on her phone. Just instant access on her phone to be able to just pull up, watch what she wants. It's right there. I mean, it's right there. You know, when I was a kid, the most exciting thing I had was encyclopedias. You know, encyclopedias. I remember my parents bought a set, 1978, 79, something like that. Encyclopedias, the good ones, had a whole set. And when I was in school, I used to use those to actually do my homework and projects. Encyclopedias. Didn't have internet. Didn't have any of that. Had to get an old encyclopedia. If I wanted to write a message about dogs, an essay about dogs, I got the D encyclopedia, turned to dogs, read out thinking about dogs, got my information from that. That's all I had. If mom wanted me home, she couldn't call me. You know what she had to do? Wait till I got home. That's just how it was. You know, she gave me a time, maybe sometimes or whatever, but you know, she had to wait. She didn't know where I was every single second. And now, man, we got tracers on our kids' phones, right? We got tracers on their cars. We can trace where they're at. We can Google them and find out their location, exactly where they're at. I'm telling you, if you've ever been to Google Earth, you can Google your house, and you can see your gas grill on the back deck from the space. You can see my ball spot from Mars. That's amazing. That's amazing. It's just, we have all this now we're competing with. But man, there's nothing more powerful, nothing greater, nothing still more pure than time in God's presence and letting the Holy Ghost baptize us. It's more than just being a wet Christian, man. It's being an empowered Christian. Verse 16 is a key verse. Verse 17. For as much as God gave them the like gift as He did us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? See, I love how Peter put it on God. And that's something I want to say for us as Christians. I think when we are trying to communicate with someone about the gospel or defend our faith, it can't be our opinion against their opinion. It needs to be God's word against their opinion. Always put it back on God and what God's word says. When they begin to question, we get too caught up, I think, and it turns into a vindictive, angry thing with us because we do get mad when someone challenges maybe our God or our faith. We get mad about it. And sometimes that can act out of anger, and then we walk out of love, and they think it's just our opinion. But we point them back to the Word of God. Like if someone asks me, and I've had this talk before, we had 4 or 5 years ago, we had a lesbian couple come to church here. They come talk to me, says, "We are gay. Can we come here?" I said, "You sure you can come here?" And said, I said, but I want to talk to you in my office. Took them both back. We talked. And one thing I told them, I said, I want to make it very clear what the Bible says about this. The Bible, in God's eyes, this lifestyle is wrong and it's a sin. And I want you to know that. Now, I'm going to be your pastor, but I am anybody else's. And I'm going to be there if you need me, but I want you to know what God's word says about this lifestyle. It is a sin in the eyes of God. We've got to point people to what the word of God says, because people just think we're against something because we're against it. Like the abortion thing with, you know, murdering these babies. You know, as many people think, oh, you're just one of them, you know, nutso Christians. No, look, it's not about, it's about what God's word says. And in God's word, it's murder. That's the real word for it. It's murder. You can call it all we want. Women's right. You know, abortion. It's murder is what it is. Murder. When we are taking a child and slaughtering it out of the womb, it is murder. That's exactly what the prosecutor calls it when a pregnant woman gets murdered and has a baby in her stomach. Two homicides. The mother and the child was murdered. Oh, really? Just because a 9mm took them out, now it's murder? But it's not murder if you go and have a doctor remove it. What is the difference? You're ending a life, and that life has no choice at all. And so that's what the word of God says. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not shed innocent blood. That's God's word. That's not just some crazy conservative theory. This is God's word. And so when we begin to tell people what God's word says, then it falls back on him, not on us. This is what the Lord says. Read his word. And not just that, but all sin, of course, we can point back to God's word. Fornication, adultery. I mean, all of that is in God's word. So I think it's important we defend our faith. We always tie it back to what the Bible says, because they'll think you're just jumping on them and being some holier-than-thou judge. We're not the judge. We know that, but we know who the judge is. Verse 18, last verse tonight. We'll close with that, with this one. When they heard these things, now Peter gave his spiel to Joe. So Joe had heard all this stuff. Joe's now happy. Aren't you glad Joe's happy, y'all? Here's what Joe said in verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace, and they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. This was a radical change for these Jews to accept that these Gentiles also could be forgiven of their sins, because they weren't God's chosen people. They weren't picked out ahead of time. They weren't there when Moses crossed the Red Sea. They weren't part of that 12-tribe heritage. They weren't part of any of that. But yet they waltz in now to this message of grace and forgiveness, and they're a part of it. That's the beauty of God's grace. That's why we read last week, he has no respect to persons. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All. The Bible says that anyone will confess their sins. If you confess your sins, he is just to forgive you of your sins and forgive you of all unrighteousness. Our past can be forgiven. It has been forgiven through Calvary. But as we come to the Lord and we believe that and confess that, Lord, take my sins away. The Bible says it's as far away as the east is from the west, that he remembers our iniquities no more. How beautiful that is. That's the message of Jesus. And this Holy Ghost, this gift. And we'll talk more about this. I may talk about some more of this on Sunday. We'll see where it goes. But this Holy Ghost gift, it will change how you worship. It will change how you believe. It will change how you walk, how you talk. It'll change how you think. When you allow the Holy Ghost to be what it's supposed to be in your life, and that's your leader, your head, your guide of all that you do. See, that Holy Ghost is there for a purpose. And we can definitely push it down. We can definitely quench it, because the Bible says, do not quench the Spirit of God. We do that sometimes. We can definitely not listen to it. We can definitely override it by our own will. Absolutely we can. But when we surrender to it, it's kind of like when you get a brand new job and you know nothing about it. If you're not an arrogant person and you really want to learn, you're going to surrender and submit to that job completely. I don't know anything. What do I do? Show me. Show me again. Show me again. Okay, now what do you do here? You want to know what to do. You're surrendering to learn what to do. With the Holy Ghost, it's about surrendering, God, to your spirit. Show me what to do. Fill me with what you want and help me go where you want me to go. Don't quench the power that you have through the Holy Ghost. It's a life changer. And I know it preserved me. And I know it still preserves me. And I'm thankful for that. Any comments tonight in closing before we get out of here? A little bit early. Are we going home? Is that the trumpet?